And let's take a look at Genesis chapter 4. Last time we got together, we covered the murder of Abel. And now we're going to look at the seven generations of the line of Cain. And could someone, there's a lot of weird words here, a lot of weird names. So someone with extreme bravery read in chapter 4, verses 16 through 21.
So Cain, is that where we started?
Yeah, please.
So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was born Mahojiel, and Mahojiel was the father of Methushel, and Methushel was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So, what's the very first verse we read, or Jeff read in verse 16? What does it tell us?
Cain left.
Yeah, Cain left the presence of the Lord. And it was after he got accused and he had the confrontation with Yahweh about his murder of his brother. So he left his presence. It's a bad place to end up. And then what happened after? Where did he go when he left the presence of the Lord?
East.
Yeah, it says east of Eden. Settled in a land named Nod. So, wherever Eden was, Cain traveled east. And this place that he settled, Nod, the Hebrew is translated into wandering, a place of wandering. Verse 17, what then after Cain leaves and settles in this land of Nod, then what happens with Cain?
He had a son.
Yeah, now who did Cain have a son with?
Cain's wife.
Yeah, so who's Cain's wife?
Where the girl did she, he knew.
Yeah, where did she come from? She meet her at the drugstore?
To go.
Cain's wife,
he went with
her. Adam's later
possibly.
Daughters. Was one of his daughters?
Yeah, we don't know, do we? We're not told. He just ends up with a wife. So, where could she have come from? One of Adam's daughters, right? It might be a sister. Is that the only possibility?
Yeah. Nobody else on the earth, right?
Maybe a niece? Maybe.
Maybe Abel, have any
maybe Abel married a sister and had a daughter? I don't know. This is an area that a lot of disbelievers struggle with.
Adam's later daughter?
Yeah, so the big question becomes, let me ask you a question. Under the law of Moses, are you permitted to have sex with your sister?
Not
absolutely not.
There's no law yet.
That's a good point. So there you go. Yeah, that's the explanation.
There's no Moses yet.
That's the explanation. The law is not eternal. The law is not for everyone. Just like the church is not eternal. The church didn't exist at the beginning of time. The law, like the church or the ecclesia, the law came into being after many, many years after Adam was around. The law came into being with Moses. And it's not for Gentiles. It's for the nation of Israel. The ecclesia didn't exist. Didn't exist until 2,000 years ago. And just as the law went away, so the ecclesia will go away. And so the explanation is easy. Yes, it is not permitted under the law to have sex with your sister. But the law wasn't in effect at this time. Well, so presumably it wasn't permitted to be married and then have sex and then have children. I'm sorry, Richard, go ahead.
I said if you start with two people, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you got to marry somebody in your family.
Well, unless what? There's other possibilities people will arrive at.
More creation.
Yeah, that's the other... Now, that's extra biblical explanation. But some believe the Christians get around this dilemma by subscribing to a belief that God created other atoms or other people right from the dust. Again, that's extra biblical, but I don't believe it. I mean, I think it's either Adam's sister or niece.
I would say also, I think it could be just that, you know, we're dealing with Plan B here, or Plan C or Plan D. It wasn't the original design. And so God's taking the scraps, the wreck, the mess, and fixing it.
That's a good point.
To still work out so Jesus can come and save the rest of us. So what comes to my mind is, well, what was the original plan? That would have been interesting. We'll never know.
Well, definitely for him to be obedient and not disobey. But you're right. I mean, who knows what it would turn out like.
The big issue now is because the genetic drift and the problems and mistakes and DNA, close family relatives, all kinds of issues. Back then, before...
The genetic code was so perfect. It was the root of perfection. Good point. It might have been impervious to those genetic defects. Good point. So she conceives birth and gives... Cain has a son. His name is Enoch. Enoch, by the way, in Hebrew means dedicated or consecrated. And Cain builds a city. What's he call the city?
Enoch.
Enoch, yeah. And why does he call it Enoch?
Dedicated.
Yeah, names it after his son, or it's dedicated. That's right. Verse 18. Now, Enoch, what happens to him?
Has kids.
Yeah, he has a son named Irad. Irad has a son named Mahuel, and Mahuel has a son of Methushael, and Methushael has a child named Lamech. So you got a couple of number of generations that proceed or descend from Cain. And at this point in time, do we know of any other sons that Adam has?
Seth? Oh, no. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, Seth's not... We don't know when he's... We find out when he's born a little bit later, but he's not mentioned yet. And the only two we know of are Cain and Abel, and Abel, of course, is dead. Verse 19. What happens with Lamech in verse 19?
Took two wives.
Good. Okay, so he takes two wives. Again, there is no law in effect. And even under the law, are you allowed to have two wives? Let me ask that question. Under the law of Moses, can you have two wives?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Law of Moses absolutely permits two wives, three wives, four wives, possibly. Nothing, no prohibition in the law of Moses. Under the law of Messiah. Now, let me ask a question. Are you under the law of Moses?
No.
Good, thank you. Are you lawless?
No.
Good. Whose law are you under? Law of Jesus Christ, law of Messiah. Under the law of Messiah, can you have more than one wife?
No.
No, absolutely not. No way, no how.
Thank the Lord for that.
We've got verse 19. This is the first instance of polygamy in Scripture, chapter 4, verse 19 with Lamech. He has two wives. One of his wives' name is Adah, the other one is Zillah. And verse 20, Adah gives birth to Jabal. And what do we know about Jabal and his descendants in verse 20? Yeah, we're told that they're given an occupation. Who else had an occupation like this that we read about?
Paul.
Abel, right? Yeah. Abel was a herder, a shepherder, so this is... Jabal has the and his descendants seem to gather the reputation for this occupation that one of his great uncles had, Abel. Jubal, what are his descendants known for? Yeah, artisans. Yeah, interesting. So let's take a look at Genesis 4. Could someone read chapter or verses 22 through 24?
Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Naamah said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold.
Okay, good. Thanks, Richard. So Lamech's other wife, Zillah. She has a son. What's his name?
Cain.
Yeah, Tubal-Cain. And what's he known for in his descendants?
Warrior of Israel.
Yeah, like blacksmiths. And also we're known, we're told that Zillah has gives birth to a daughter too. What's her name? Naamah. Now, this is very curious because Scripture typically doesn't mention women. And so with her mention, rabbinic, the rabbis have long tried to figure out why. And the answer that they seem to come up with is the fact that she just might have been really exceptional enough to be mentioned. In fact, her name means gorgeous in Hebrew. And verse 23 and verse 24, what's going on here?
Confession.
Okay, confession of what? Who? By who of what?
Killing someone.
Okay, who killed someone?
Lamech.
Okay, why did Lamech kill someone?
Really?
Okay.
Struck.
How many people did he kill that he laments to?
Two.
A man and a boy, right? And what else does Cain say? And who's Cain speaking to? Lamech. Who else is Lamech? Who is Lamech speaking to?
His wives.
Okay. And what else does Lamech say?
Punishment is 70 times sevenfold.
Yeah. So what? How do you what do you think is going on here? What is this? What do you? This just seems weird. It's coming out of the Bible like this weird.
Maybe he's feeling guilt.
Guilt. Okay, that's good. What else might it be?
Confession.
Okay, good.
He's fear.
Fear?
That's okay. Why he was, like, well, if he was protected seven times, I would even protect it more.
Yeah. Is that a symptom of fear or guilt or remorse?
Not remorse.
Okay. So he says, what does this mean?
I'm guilty of something and I don't want to protect myself.
Okay.
I'm afraid.
Fear. Okay, good. When he says Cain is avenged sevenfold, what's he talking about?
Isn't he sort of mocking God? Or,
I think that's what's going on here.
Because it's, Cain was put on with this curse, and then he's saying, okay, bring it on. I killed two people, bring it on.
I think that's what's going on. So what does he mean? What does Lamech mean when he says if Cain is avenged sevenfold? What does that mean?
He's that much worse than me.
Okay.
Well, God had said if someone's going to touch Cain, they're going to get sevenfold.
Do you remember that?
The punishment.
Do you remember that the judgment placed on Cain was this mark, and then Cain complained, well, people are going to hurt me, and the Lord said, I'll protect you. Anyone hurts you, it'll be known that they'll be avenged. So, in fact, it was so much known that it was, these generations knew about this protection that was placed on Cain. And so, here you got a guy that tells his wife, I killed a boy and a man because they hurt me. Now listen, you think it went bad with you think it was bad for the people that came up against Cain? They were avenged sevenfold. Someone comes up against me, they're going to get what? Yeah, I think it's like a proud, braggadocious.
Pride.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of pride.
Is this two men? Looks like one. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me.
Yeah, and I don't know.
He's like explaining it.
It could be. I don't know what exactly the Hebrew says. My New American Standard says, I killed a man and a boy. A man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. But, is it a young man that he's further explaining? It could be. So, and this is also a poem or a song, and it's known as the first song that occurs in Scripture. So Lamech, as a descendant of Cain, may be, carrying on his dad's tradition of being disobedient, being boastful, who knows? It's what most people believe is the attitude of Lamech here. Could someone read verses 25 and 26?
And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, who Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord.
Okay, good. Thanks, Barry. So what happens in verse 25?
Rabbit died.
Yeah, right. Gosh, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Man, wow.
What generation are you in, bro?
So Adam and Eve have a child, and what do they name him? Seth. Okay, yeah. And because Eve says, God has appointed for me another offspring for Abel, for Cain killed Abel. Seth means appointed. So, when do you think Seth was born?
When?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Do you think, so, was he born like right? Do you think he was born right after Cain and Abel, or do you think he was born much later?
Generations.
Yeah, we don't. The way the chronology of the texts, it seems that Seth probably wasn't born until all these other things happened. Well, we know it was after the death of Abel, because Eve says, hey, this is a replacement for Abel. We know for sure it was after Abel. We don't know how long after. We're going to find out in a second in terms of how old Adam was.
Do you think there's anything here to indicate that there weren't anything between him?
Say again?
Do you think this indicates that there wasn't any of his children?
Oh. That's a good question.
Because, I mean, where do these people all come from? And they had to be busy to get
them. If there were no other people between Cain and Abel, then again, we're left with this dilemma, where did Cain's wife come from? Right?
And the timing of it is, you know, it talked about the fact that Cain built a city. You know, the city just doesn't grow up right away and everything.
People
for the city.
Unless you're in Naples.
I guess the question becomes, we're introduced to the birth of Seth in verse 25. Seth is definitely born after Abel's death. Abel and Cain are presumably grown men by the time this conflict occurs. The question becomes, were there other sons and daughters of Adam and Eve that are mentioned? And if so, why aren't they mentioned? It's possible that Seth was mentioned. It's possible that there could have been other sons and daughters after Cain and Abel, but they're not mentioned, and only Seth is mentioned because he specifically seems to be given to Adam and Eve as a replacement for the first murderer. It's a possibility. We don't know for sure, though.
And isn't he in the line of the Messiah?
There we go. We're going to get to that. That's good. Okay, we're moving on towards that. So, we in verse 26, Seth has a son. What's his name? Enosh. Good. And what else do we know about the birth of Seth and his son in verse 26?
The time men started worshiping the Lord.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting? That the author of Genesis wants to let us know. Contrast that with someone read the first part of verse 16 out loud. Cain went away from the presence of the Lord after the murder of Abel. You have all this time presumably going by. Seth's birth, siring of a son. And then at that point in time, then you have someone read the last part of verse 26.
At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah, there seems to be at some point when between Abel's death and the birth of this other son, Seth, when we're talking about Cain and Cain's generation, the implication is chaos, disobedience. Cain leaves the presence of the Lord. You have Lamech bragging, possibly, about who he is compared to who God is. Lamech, a descendant of Cain. And then all you have, suddenly you have Seth's birth, as a, presumably, or the text tells us, a replacement for Abel. And for some reason, when Seth has a child, Enosh, Then men began to call upon the name of Yahweh. Just, you know, it's interesting to know. Something's going on here.
A comment on it. As men realize their inherent sinfulness with no human means to appease, God's righteous indignation and wrath over their multiplied inequities, they turn to God for mercy and grace in hopes of a restored personal relationship.
So it may be, instead of the attitude of Lamech, F you, God, Seth's descendants seem to take the approach that, let's call for mercy. Let's do something different than what Cain's descendants doing, if Lamech is indeed mocking God.
And then, isn't the life was a lot longer back then?
Yeah, definitely.
And so Adam and Eve were they still alive at this point in time?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they could share what a personal relationship was.
In fact, we're going to find out that Adam only died a few years before Noah. Right. So all this text comes down to us, not by scrolls and parchments. This is people saying, family. Like you would tell your kids, let me tell you about the good old days when I walked uphill to school and the snow both ways. This text is being transmitted mouth to mouth, not ancient papyri. And that's why we have Genesis and we can rely on Genesis. Because this is verbal transmission by living people down to Noah before the whole planet was wiped out. Then lives became shortened and we have to rely on these textual evidence as to transmit history. Could someone read verses? Oh, actually, that's the end of Genesis, isn't it? Or Genesis 4. Chapter 4. Yeah, okay. So, this is the end of the toldot of the heaven and earth. And here are some final observations of this toldot. Even though Adam named the animals and his wife, Eve named the children. So, just as Adam was granted a level of authority within creation, Eve is submitted to Adam. Nonetheless, Eve is given authority too, so much so that she names the creation of human beings. The other observation about this toldot is the prominence, we've talked about this before, the prominence of the number 7. 7 is the number of completion in Scripture, 7 days, the seventh day the Lord rested. The name Abel appears 7 times. The name Cain appears 14 times. Cain is avenged sevenfold. And we're told about 7 generations of Cain in this toldot. And the first 5 chapters of Scripture, the name of Adonai or Elohim appears 70 times. So some interesting coincidences with regard to the number 7. Now we move on to the toldot of Adam. And toldot, remember, is a Hebrew word that means what became of. So the toldot of heaven and earth, we learn about the heaven and earth, the creation of heaven and earth, and then what became of the heaven and earth. Well, what did become of the heaven and the earth? Livestock, people. People committed sin. They started to have children. Now we're going to find out, now we're entering the second toldot. There's 11 toldot in Genesis. The second toldot is the toldot of Adam. Toldot meaning generations or what became of. And now we're going to find out what became of Adam. Hey, what became of Adam? We're going to find this out. So chapter 5, could someone read verses 1 and 2?
This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. 2. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and he named them man when they were created.
Okay, thanks, David. So, what does verse 1 tell us of chapter 5?
This is the account.
Yeah. Actually, this is the scroll. This is the first mention of a written piece of documentation. This is the scroll, and this may be Moses' editorial comment with regard to his committing Genesis to us. This is the scroll of the toldot of Adam. And this is just a summary. Hey, what became of Adam? Well, here's what became of Adam. In the day when God created man, he created him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them in the day they were created. That's what became of them. Now, let's talk about more of what happened. And so now we're going to look at, on your outline, Jeff alluded to this. Now that we find out what became of this heavens and the earth were created perfectly. They ended up in a bad situation. That's what became of the heavens and the earth. And that's what we learned from the first toldot. Now we're going to learn about the second toldot, the toldot of Adam. Specifically, this toldot is going to focus on the seed that was promised that would crush the head of Satan in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This toldot of Adam is going to focus not on the line of Cain, but on the line of Seth. And Seth is the ancestor of Noah, who is the ancestor of Jesus Messiah. So this toldot focuses on the genealogy of the seed line. This toldot focuses on the genealogy of the promise of Genesis chapter 3:15. The seed of the woman is going to crush the head of Satan, although his heel will be bruised. So could someone read Genesis chapter 5, verses 3 through 5?
When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died.
Okay, that's, you know, that's definitely, you're well into your depends and your insure by 930 years. That's a basically, you know.
They probably didn't age like us, though. I
mean, now, so remember, this is pre-flood.
So you think, like, they probably looked at, like how I did at 100, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so we're going to find out that this people...
Look at day over 100.
Yeah. We're going to find out that before the flood, people lived almost, you know, a millennium. This guy almost lived 1,000 years. And so the explanation, how could that happen? Well, remember, before the flood, what were the physical conditions on Earth like before the flood?
Pretty good.
Yeah, was there rain?
No.
There was no rain. There seems to be this canopy around the Earth that protects the Earth from ultraviolet light. Most of our aging comes from exposure to sun. Think about your skin. Not most, a great deal of it. So I think it's we have a combination of the removal of the protection of this cloud canopy after the flood and genetic deterioration. We find out later on that the lives of men shortly or in the generation of Noah after the flood turned out to be less than 100 years. But before the flood, when the earth was under this protection, people were going strong. And Adam went strong.
Too. Your food source was better, same genetic.
You weren't eating meat. You were a vegan. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. No fat, no trans fats, nothing like that.
Don't they have, in Arizona, man-made biosphere?
Yes.
That's basic. What they basically said Earth was like pre-Noah flood was this biosphere that's just a really...
I just remember a movie by Pauly Shore in it about that. Does anyone remember that movie? Stupid.
The biosphere went defunct, though.
I said man-made. Like, man-made religions, they go defunct, too.
They don't sneak food into the vents and everything to go ahead and preserve life.
No way. But again, Chris, back to the original plan... The earth was designed, created originally, to live forever.
No death.
So we might have stayed with that canopy on there.
Sure.
And we wore out with the death curse at 900, but it was built to go eternal.
Yeah, yeah. No Viagra back then. And how old was Adam when he had Seth?
130.
130 years old without Viagra. He didn't have to put up with the 10 hours of commercials on TV while he was watching TV with his daughter. Yeah. About if you have an erection for 6 hours, maybe you should go to the emergency room.
Interesting, it doesn't say Eve is his mother here. And he named Seth.
A good point.
You were just saying...
Although we read earlier that Eve gave birth. Well, Adam's wife gave birth. Do we know it was Eve? It's a good question.
I would assume.
Yeah, I would too. But let's take a look at this.
It says seed of the woman. Right?
Yeah. So you got here... where am I? Hello. Verse 3, Adam lived 130 years, and then, so 130 years later, and that gives time for Cain and Abel to do all their mischief, or Cain to do all his mischief. In whose image is Seth made? Yeah, notice it's not the Lord's image.
It's not eternal.
Yeah, it's corrupt. And we're all made in the image of Adam. Now, we are made in the image of God, in that we're descendants of Adam, but we're all made in the image of Adam. We all are stained with that original transgression. What man in the history of history is not made in the image of Adam?
Adam.
Other than Adam.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus' father. Was Jesus' father a descendant of Adam? No. Jesus' father was the Holy Spirit. So then verse 4, you got...
Wait a minute. Jesus... is not a descendant of Adam.
Yeah, I guess he would. You're right. He is through Mary. You're right. He is. But he isn't. Yeah. And isn't it crazy that God is 100% man, but he's also 100% God? Go fit. How do you explain that with Aristotelian algebra? You don't. A matter of faith. Aristotelian logic. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 5. Could someone read verses 6 through 8?
Seth had lived 105 years, he had became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died.
Okay, so now we're going to... Let's crank through these in the next 5 minutes so we don't have to visit them again next week. But now we're getting to find out what is the genealogy of the seed line, the line that will result in the birth, the important line that is going to be the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. So we have Seth to Enosh. Enosh means frailty. And it's a similar meaning to the word of Abel, which meant breath. And the idea was that it's possible that once Eve named Cain, thinking this is the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Eve probably found out quickly soon that this is kid's not the fulfillment. And when she had Abel, she may name him Abel, which means breath. And Cain might have come to the conclusion that life is just vanity. And similarly, Seth gave his son a similar name, Enosh, which means frailty. Life is frail. No guarantees. You know, we're not sure whether this kid's going to be, this kid is ultimately an ancestor of the Messiah and the seed, but he's probably not the seed. Kind of a jaded, like we all get jaded when we live life. Skepticism, cynical. His name is Frailty. How long does Enosh live? 905. Yeah, old dude, 905 years. Can someone read verses 12 through 14?
When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died.
Good. So, thanks, Dave. So, Kenan is the son of Enosh. Kenan gives birth to Mahalalel. And how old's Kenan when he dies?
910.
These guys are all breaking 900. That's pretty good. Kenan means smith, or like a blacksmith in Hebrew. Could someone read verses 15 through 17?
When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died.
Okay, so this is the first guy that we know that doesn't break 900. There's already somewhat of a deterioration, it seems to be. In terms of lifespans. Mahalalel. Does that sound like any other Hebrew words you know? Mahalalel. Everyone ever heard of a Hebrew word hallelujah? Anyone know what the word Hebrew word hallelujah means?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, you really should know what the word hallelujah means. It means praise Yahweh. It's a Hebrew word, praise Yahweh. And so Mahalalel is a variant of his name meaning hallelujah or praise God, praise Yahweh. Could someone read verses 18 and 20? Other than Dave Kerlick.
When Jared lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years.
Okay.
And he died.
Perfect. Thanks, Richard. So he lives 962, so it's at this point in time he's going along as Jared means descent. And so you've got, again, this coming to Mahalalel gives birth to Jared. Jared gives birth to Enoch. Enoch has all these people have other sons and daughters. What's the common denominator with all these people that Scripture's describing? What, after their lives are mentioned and their ages are mentioned, what's mentioned after their age?
Yeah.
They died. They died. These guys died. And it is a fulfillment of, well, it is it's the fruit being reaped of one lie. The first lie spoken by the enemy to Eve. He told her, you didn't hear correctly. Actually, he said, if you eat of the fruit, you shall surely
live.
Not die. Not die. That was a lie. And just because she believed that one lie, every one of these people are reaping the fruit of that disobedience based on deception. And actually, it wasn't Eve, remember, because Eve was deceived. Adam knew it was a lie. He willfully disobeyed. And now everyone's reaping the fruit. Die. 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 Now, one lie. And this actually is a... Don't, you know... This is a good reminder that your sins don't just affect you. Your sins are not victimless. They're not. They affect your children, your grandchildren, your peers, your family members in ways that you'll never, ever remember.
I think also, Chris, it's not what was expected. When he said you'll die, they, I think, envisioned, as you, I think, pointed out, immediate. But it wasn't that. It was over time. And, you know, I think what really stings is you get to know somebody, you get to get involved with them, and then they die. If you, they're born and they die, boom, you know feel
that's
it.
A good point. There's much. Pain. There's pain with that separation.
That stings more.
That's true.
I think. So I think the thing is a lot of times the consequences of our sin are probably not the way we're imagining them. They're probably going to roll out a lot different.
It's true. So even though we are... reaping this fruit of that sin, there still is mercy. You know, these guys are still getting protected. The seed redeemer is promised to Eve. I think of that. There's that scripture in Joel that always comforts me. The Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I mean, I think about my life. There's a lot of years that I spent in vanity, just seeking my own self, and then I'm still reaping the fruit of that. But yet, I'm not reaping all of it because the Lord is restoring some of those years that the locust has eaten. We'll continue our next...
Okay. Rod, you pray for us, man?
Heavenly Father, what an awesome day you provided to us.
Once yes.
Again. Just such a joy to go ahead and be in your midst.
Truly.
To go ahead and hear your word. And just go ahead and enlighten our lives with what happened in the past. And how we can go ahead and just... repent, we can change, we can go ahead and be the men and women that you want us to be.
It's true.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for each man that's here. I pray for the ones that are not here. I pray specifically for Lou and lift him up to you as far as his illnesses, and pray that you go ahead and put your healing touch on him. We just pray for everyone that has traveled back home, and we just glorify your name. We just praise you for these movies that are coming out so that we can go ahead and just show the glory of you. And hopefully that'll bleed into the normal population in the world. Heavenly Father, you're just so awesome. We just thank you for all the blessings you've put into each one of our
lives.
In your holy name we pray.
Amen. Amen.